It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As lawmakers on Capitol Hill struggle to reach a deal on immigration, implications extend beyond the southern border. Billions of dollars in additional aid to Ukraine are another focus of debate as it battles to push back Russian forces. We discuss policy priorities with a Wisconsin congressman, and you can take part in the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Glenn Grothman is a Republican representative from Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District in East Central Wisconsin. Congressman Grothman, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Glad to be talking to the erudite listener.
Thank you. All right. Well, this week, Senate Republicans, they block a $110 billion package that would have provided additional security assistance to Ukraine and Israel. What is your position on sending further military aid to these nations?
Well, with regard to Ukraine, the problem I have is the Biden administration is not negotiating an end to this war. All wars end sooner or later. And even when dealing with horrific dictators, I'm thinking of the end of the Korean War, eventually a peace is negotiated. The Biden administration, I voted 6 times, by the way, for more aid for Ukraine. But right now we have 2 problems here. First of all, the Biden administration is not negotiating the settlement. And somehow we got to send the message to them that, well, maybe the U.S. can't negotiate it. We should be encouraging the Turks or the French. I guess the Israelis have their hands filled right now, but somebody negotiate a settlement. The Biden administration, if you talk to them, I think they'd be satisfied if this thing were going on for another 2 years. So that's what's going on in Ukraine. As far as with regard to Israel, they need more money. We've got to get them more money. The House has, of course, already passed a bill giving enough money. We want a lot of people, though, we're not going to vote for that. I think I could vote for it, but a lot of people are not going to vote for it unless we spent less money somewhere else. We right now are borrowing over 22% of our federal budget. So I guess it's up to the, if they don't like places we made the cuts, I look forward to the Senate sending back another bill in which we reduce spending by $14 or $15 billion somewhere else.
In terms of aid to Ukraine, do you worry about President Putin's capabilities without supplemental aid to
Ukraine? Yeah, there's another. I am worried, but I'm even more worried about the fact that the Biden administration is not trying to do anything to negotiate a settlement. And like I said, when the Korean War went on, of course, they were right in the middle of the war. President Eisenhower reached a settlement that had to be signed off by Mao Zedong, signed off by the North Koreans, and he was able to get it done. President Biden isn't doing that. The other thing of concern is our number one priority right now has to be the southern border. It shouldn't have to be a concern. You know, at the time President Biden took office, we were well under 20,000 people a month crossing that southern border. We're now, due to change in policy, up around 230,000. So he's increased it by a factor of about 11 times as much. And we would hope that prior to committing more money in Ukraine, that President Biden would do something at the southern border. I don't think you're going to see Republicans bring a bill to the floor to help Ukraine before President Biden does something at that southern border.
In terms of Israel, the Gaza Health Ministry estimating Israel's military response to the October 7th attacks by Hamas that have killed at least 15,000 people, including many children and civilians. As a condition of receiving further military aid, should the U.S. require Israel to change its military response?
Well, people keep asking Israel, which went through a horrific time in which over 1,000 people right, in which babies were having their heads cut off, they say Israel has to do something. I'll tell you what has to be done. Hamas could lay down their weapons, surrender at any time, and I think this thing would be over. But instead, they continue to fight. They continue not to surrender. And I think it's a horrible thing that Hamas is, therefore, keeping this war going. It's not Israel who wants to keep it going. I'm sure Israel wishes they could wipe out all these Hamas people tomorrow. But Hamas, after their horrific behavior, keeps fighting. And
So just
Israel,
like that.
Israel has to have, and I think there's a lack of historical perspective. You look at World War II, what happened with the Dresden firebombings, or what happened in Tokyo, or what happened after the nuclear bombs. And these are many, many, many more times people dying than Hamas. And we don't particularly see the Dresden firebombings. I don't think we talk about it a lot today as being a horrific thing. And here we have a situation in which Hamas keeps fighting. If
So
they're going
if
to keep
Hamas
fighting,
laid down its arms, we would see peace in the region?
I think so. If they surrendered, came out and said, here are our people, because that's what Israel's looking for.
You're co-sponsoring a bill that would make people ineligible to receive an American visa if using a passport issued by the Palestinian Authority. Why do you support this bill?
Well, we do not need people coming from that part of the world. You look at the type of people that are already demonstrating against Israel, the severe anti-Semitism. The people in the Palestinian Authority, they've been getting school curriculum since they were children, telling them how horrible the Jews are, how we got to wipe out Israel. We've got people all around the world trying to get in our country. Why, with all the people trying to get here, would in any circumstances we take people raised in that sort of background? Now, I suppose you can have some sympathy for them, and that nobody else wants these people. Egypt could take them. They don't want them. The Saudi Arabians don't want them. The Syrians don't want them. The Lebanese don't want them. I think Americans who think about inviting these Palestinians into our country ought to stop and think first why people in these primarily Muslim countries, why they don't want any of these Palestinians.
Republican U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman represents a wide swath of East Central Wisconsin. You can take part in this discussion, call in with a question, share what you're watching for, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Sixth District Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman is here with updates on priorities of his caucus and work on Capitol Hill ahead of a holiday recess. You've aligned to this discussion. Call in with a question. Share your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Congressman, turning to immigration, as Republicans and Democrats in Congress, they're at odds over military aid, as we've been talking about for Ukraine and Israel. They're also debating new steps on immigration and border security. Where do you think compromise with the Biden administration is possible?
Well, you just have to enforce the current law. Again, I mentioned when President Biden took office, we were having under 20,000 people a month coming across the southern border. Sometimes well under 10,000. So we really don't even have to change anything. He's just got to go back to the old policies. I mean, it's not that difficult. We have laws on how to get in this country, right? We are already swearing in over 1 million people a year, which by historical standards is incredibly high. We do not need people either lying about the fact that they need asylum or what we call gotaways, which are largely single men sneaking across the border. We just want President Biden to enforce the current law. We do have a bill out there that has passed the House of Representatives. The Senate is not taking it up. And that bill has a variety of proposals which could improve things.
Are you talking about H.R. 2?
Correct.
H.R. 2, the real overhaul of the immigration system. It also includes resuming construction of the border wall. Are you in favor of that as well?
Right. I've been down to the border maybe 8 times now. And every time I'm down there, anybody I talk to, be it the Border Patrol agents, be it law enforcement on the southern border, believes the wall is an improvement. And what they refer to it as is kind of a wall system. It's not just a wall. It's a system in which we would be alerted if anybody was trying to get under or over the wall so the Border Patrol could get out there. It would solve the problem. I don't think any other country would put up with 20,000 people a month crossing into it, much less 220, 240,000.
I want to turn to spending. Oh, I'm sorry.
I do want to point out, we are getting over 1 million people a year sworn in this country. Nobody can say we're being xenophobic or not caring about other people. I recently attended a ceremony in Milwaukee, which I think they had like 270 people sworn in 1 day at our state fair park. So nobody should fall for this idea that America isn't letting anybody in. We let a lot of people.
But I wonder what you would say then to a Wisconsin dairy farm that is deeply needs migrant workers, immigrant workers year round to keep cows milked, to keep cows healthy, to keep operations running smoothly.
As I said, it's not impossible to get in this country. There are people coming in on work visas, and we have 1 million people a year being sworn in.
Let's turn to spending. Federal lawmakers have about 2 weeks to avoid a partial government shutdown due to the lack of a newly authorized spending plan. How should this situation be addressed?
Well, we have finished. I think we've passed out now 9 of 12 appropriation bills, so your listeners understand our budget is made up of 12 separate bills. We're kind of waiting for proposals to come back from the Senate. We're negotiating them right now. We did reach an agreement on the numbers of the overall budget at the time we increased the debt limit. I think if we stick with those numbers, I think we should be able to get something done.
Talking with U.S. Republican Glenn Grothman about policy priorities here at the end of the year. You can join in questions and comments, 800-642-1234, specifically the farm bill. Last month, lawmakers extending the 2018 farm bill to continue until September 2024. And this allows you more time to debate long-term changes to farming and food assistance. What changes are you advocating for?
I want to mention one other thing. When we talk about the budget, it's not entirely the amount of spending. President Biden has been active in his proposals, trying to get a lot more stuff in there, identifying people by race, okay, giving preferences to people by race, hiring more bureaucrats who are going to spend their life telling people that they should identify, they should view themselves as a representative of a racial group, rather than an individual. And that's something that the Republicans are going to have to stand up to. We are very broke as a country. We shouldn't be hiring these people. And I could see several bills being delayed if the Democrats insist on hiring more of these people.
In terms of the farm bill, what changes are you advocating for?
Well, like you said, we push things off for another year. I think the status quo is fairly good. I think Glenn Thompson on that committee is doing a good job. They're going to, in that farm bill, we have food stamps, which is the largest share of that bill. I think we ought to be cracking down, have more people subject to work requirements there. And I would really like to see food stamps limited to more nutritious food. I've long been an advocate for taking things like Mountain Dew out of there, and that's going to be a priority of mine. I think we have to publicize it. We right now have a great program called the WIC program aimed at young mothers and children, and you can see when you go into the grocery store what you can buy on the WIC, what you can't. I think we ought to be moving in that direction on food stamps. I'll be very disappointed if they don't.
So the farm bill could top $1 trillion. Do you support its size, I wonder?
Well, it'd be nice if it cost less, but I think the overall amount that's going to be spent is going to meet with the negotiations we've already had with regard to with regard to raising the debt limit. And as long as we keep under those limits, I think that'll be okay.
And so, in turn, you look at trying to overhaul SNAP benefits more in order to reconfigure how the farm bill is allocated in specifically this area of support.
Well, I think right now we are sadly encouraging people, and it's not just SNAP, though SNAP is part of the Farm Bill. We are encouraging people to adapt a certain lifestyle, right? And SNAP, as other things, discourages work or encourages if you're going to work, work off the books. Either one of those is not appropriate. And like almost every one of these income support programs, there's a strong anti-marriage penalty associated with it. I do not like to have on, it's not just that, it's low-income housing, it's earned income tax credit, all the others, but Pell Grants, all are an incentive for America to move away from the old-fashioned traditional family, and I don't like that in these programs.
I want to spend our last 30 seconds or so on your leadership and House Speaker Mike Johnson. Do you think Johnson is receiving the opportunity to be able to allow to do the job?
He's a very moral person. I was pleased to vote for him. He doesn't have a lot of experience. He's only been there 7 years. But as you know, the Republicans rejected four people who on paper had more experience. So we've all got to get behind Mike, give him our suggestions, realize that there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve here. But I think he is the most conservative speaker we've had in a long time. I think he's aware of the fact that a lot of the problems we have in this country, I guess I would call moral problems. And I think he's going to do what he can to try to get America back to where it used to be. I think a lot of Mike's viewpoints are very similar to my viewpoints. It'll be the fourth speaker I've dealt with since I've been to Washington and the one that is closest to my own viewpoint.
Congressman Grothman, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be on the show. And again, hope to talk to you, the air you that listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio again soon.
Glenn Grothman, Republican Congressman for the 6th Congressional District. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.